Step away from the noise of social media and mainstream news. On Watch in Washington is your place to hear directly from leaders and difference makers in our nation about the issues that face us as believers, families, voters, and people of prayer. Join us for the next 15 to 25 minutes and be inspired, challenged, and encouraged. It's time to fuel up so we can pray and change our nation. And yes, we always pray together.
The World Health Organization is attempting to take over the sovereignty of the United States of America. Join me today as we discuss and pray about this critical issue. Welcome, everybody. Dave Kubal with Intercessors for America. Thank you for joining me on this first Friday of April. It's great to be with all of you as we fast and pray for this nation. And if you're watching the webcast, sitting next to me, this fine-looking young man, Frank Gaffney, is our guest today. I'll introduce him, let him say hi, and then do a couple of announcements. But Frank is the founder of the Center for Security Policy. He has a great history in the security space. He was drafted by President Reagan, and he worked with the senior level of the Defense Department. He has consulted with NATO, and before that, he was working with the Senate in this area. So, Frank, welcome. Great to have you with us.
Thank you, Dave. Wonderful to be here.
As if you're a frequent flyer on IFA, you know this man. You have heard from him in the past, and it's just great to have you in the studio today.
It's a real treat. Thank you.
And it's a special day for him today, but we'll talk about that later.
You're not so young man, it turns out.
It's his birthday. So let's talk a little bit about some announcements before we get started today. Hey, my latest book just came out. We just got it in the last week or so. There we go. We Declare. 31 Days of Intercession for America. Call us today at the office, 1-800-USA-TODAY, USA Pray, and we'd love to send you a complimentary copy with a donation of any amount. What we're doing is we're mobilizing prayer around the National Day of Prayer. As of yesterday, we were 1 month out from the National Day of Prayer. The National Day of Prayer, I sit on the board of that, and it is by law the first Thursday of May every year. And so let's pray and intercede for the National Day of Prayer. Get this book today. Give us a call at the office. Our staff are standing by to help you get one of these books. We Declare. Give us a call today. So that is the big announcement I want to make on the front side. Frank, I'm so glad you could join us today as we have seen the Lord direct our prayer community over recent years. The Lord always identifies specific issues at critical times. And as we were discussing at a meeting a couple weeks ago, we're in one of those moments in time. And I was so pleased you're able to be with us today in the studio and talk about how the World Health Organization is trying to usurp American sovereignty. So some of you may not know a whole lot about the World Health Organization. So we're going to start out with a little bit of background with Frank on the details of who the WHO is, what agency they're connected with. So Frank, who is the World Health Organization? What agency are they part of? Give us the background.
The United Nations, early in its life, I believe 1948, established this organization essentially with a fairly modest but important agenda, and that was an enormous number of people in the course of World War II, before and of course after, but especially during World War II, were dying from sanitary conditions that were devastating. Mm-hmm. And so these various nations at the time, I think it was 50 or so, now 194, I believe, came together and said, you know, let's just have some voluntary mechanism that would enable us to share information about how to improve sanitation conditions, particularly in the third world, of course, and thereby alleviate a lot of the needless suffering of people. It was a fairly modest budget. It was a small organization, but over time, it has garnered more and more staff, more and more budget, more and more aspirations. And that's really what brings us to the present moment, I think.
Well, it's been interesting to me. I remember we were talking last time, and I didn't know that the World Health Organization was an agency of the United Nations. That's where they get their authority. And we know a little bit of the history of the United Nations in the past. But so the critical moment that we're in right now is on April 17th and 18th, here in just a couple of weeks, the Standing Committee of the Health Emergency Prevention Committee of the World Health Organization is meeting to discuss a draft of a treaty with some amendments on how the World Health Organization can make recommendations. The difference now is that they are legally binding in the draft by international law. Tell us about that.
Well, to be clear, there are actually two different agreements that are being worked in parallel. Okay. I call it a kind of belts and suspender operation. They have this common purpose of creating a whole new authority within this organization that, again, started out with fairly modest goals. Over time, it became involved in, you know, anticipating and trying to do some preparations for pandemics. We saw a lot of it, of course, in the COVID-19 pandemic, and we'll talk more about that in a minute. But the idea of these two agreements, one is a set of amendments to something called the International Health Regulations, which exist today, that sort of govern how the operation functions. And the other is a new pandemic agreement. Sometimes they slip and call it a treaty, but they really mean to call it an agreement or an accord or a framework or some such thing. The reason the term treaty is so important, of course, is that if it is a treaty, it is supposed to be submitted to the United States Senate for its advice and consent. And neither the Biden administration nor the World Health Organization nor any of its other major supporters, which include such unsavory characters as the World Economic Forum, the Chinese Communist Party, the European Union, Big Pharma, and the second largest funder, I believe, at the moment is a fellow you've heard of, Bill Gates. And none of these folks want the Senate to have anything to do with oversight or quality control, which, of course, under our Constitution is a role that the founders gave the Senate because they understood. These guys were such geniuses. You've got to hand it to them. They went to these extraordinary lengths, as you know, to create checks and balances to prevent, you know, a concentration of power that would destroy this republic. But they also understood that there was another way of getting at that, which is to make some sort of deal with some foreign entity. So they wanted those deals, those treaties, to have to go through, as I say, an oversight arrangement, and not just, you know, debate and advice and consent, as they called it, but actually to pass, they had to establish a two-thirds majority for the treaty in the Senate. And this one, I think, almost certainly would not get it, either of these. And they both are treaties, actually, interestingly. But to your question, the pandemic through which we just passed, I think, was a dress rehearsal for making the argument that we really need some kind of central authority that would be a clearinghouse for all information about the pandemic and how best to treat it and how to, you know, mitigate its other effects. And if you look at the experience with that the World Health Organization performance.
My goodness.
It was an unmitigated disaster. Absolutely. And the idea that we want to give these guys, specifically the Director General of the World Health Organization, a fellow by the name of Tedros Ghebreyesus, is an interesting background. We'll get
we're
into
going to talk about him in a minute. Yeah.
But to give him more power in light of the hash up they made just a little while ago is lunatic.
So, Frank, in your opinion, does I'm going to ask multiple questions just to let you launch off and talk about this. Does the treaty loosen pandemic criteria in order to institute their laws, their rules? Is there an element of censorship built into this? And thirdly, does the World Health Organization, as a result of this treaty, is there an element that they will determine health treatments? A lot there. Break down the details.
Well, let me frame this a little bit before we get into some of those details. Dave, one of the things that is being said about these accords by the sponsors, notably Xi Jinping, the dictator of communist China, is that this is a way to achieve global governance. Now, if you happen to be, as I am, and I think you all are, someone who prizes what those founders we were just talking about bequeathed to us in the way of God-given freedoms being guaranteed by this, you know, checks and balance arrangement, the idea that you want to have instead global governance, especially in the hands of some of these characters, is pretty much anathema. But to answer some of your questions, as a function of global governance, they are creating, in the person of Tedros Ghebreyesus, this Director General of the World Health Organization, an authority to define anything he thinks constitutes an actual or potential public health emergency of international concern. Potential. So it doesn't have to be a pandemic. And in fact, what we're already hearing, even before he gets this extraordinary power, and honestly, I got to tell you, I don't think in the history of the world has there ever been a single individual who has been given the authority and power that is vested in this guy under these agreements.
What a significant statement.
Well, it's all the more remarkable
in
that you think back on the history of mankind, the people who have tried to get anything like this kind of power usually had to go to war to do it. This guy would get it by people just surrendering to him. It's unimaginable. Anyway, one of the things that will flow from that, based upon what he is already saying before he gets these authorities, is he believes climate change is a public health emergency of international concern. He believes reproductive rights, that would be abortion, folks, is a public health emergency. He believes that transgender agenda items are. He believes that migration, which means getting more people from someplace else to here, is a public health. He believes things like gun violence. Now, the trouble with all this is it's not just that he is able on his sole authority under these arrangements to say those are health emergencies. He's able then to dictate what must be done about them. So just on the last point, if you are, as I am, I think you are, Dave, this person who prizes what is, let's face it, by design, the ultimate guarantor of our freedoms, namely our Second Amendment freedoms, to own and bear arms. One of the things that a Dr. Tedros is going to prescribe, assuredly, is that in the face of gun violence as a public health emergency of international concern, we've got to confiscate those guns. And they're not going to get the illegal ones. They're going to get the ones that people have registered legally. Yeah. So, and the Biden administration, by the way, in case I didn't quickly mention this, is all in for this. They are the driving forces, in fact, behind the amendments and behind the treaty. And it's all being done basically stealthily. Hmm. In fact, under the regulations of the organization itself, they're supposed to give you 4 months advance notice and an opportunity to review the amendments that are being proposed to this international health regulation body. And they haven't done it. And frankly, I think their plan is to implement the Pelosi rule, as I call it, which is you'll know what's in it after you pass it. Mm-hmm. And that's totally unacceptable, obviously, in this case. Is there a censorship mechanism? Yes, there is a censorship mechanism. Each nation under these agreements is obligated to create some mechanism for preventing information, speech,
misinformation,
malinformation, disinformation, from the time they were calling it an infodemic. They dropped that language apparently, but still, the basic point is that, you know, there was this hearing before the Supreme Court recently in which there was all this talk about what the Biden administration has been doing to work with tech giants to censor people like us.
Yeah.
And essentially, this would enshrine exactly what the Biden administration has been doing, and there's reason to believe unconstitutionally doing. And again, the First Amendment goes over the side, along with the Second Amendment. So it basically comes down to this. They don't want you, and we saw again a taste of this during the pandemic, they don't want you to know about medical treatments. They don't want you to have access to medical treatments. They don't want your doctor to prescribe medical treatments that aren't explicitly approved by the World Health Organization. And anybody who wants to criticize what the World Health Organization is permitting or not permitting could be sanctioned under these censorship arrangements.
So let me see if I got you right. They can declare a pandemic emergency for all sorts of different reasons.
Well, they wouldn't call it a pandemic. They would just call it a public health emergency.
Public health emergency. They would control the narrative through controlling misinformation, and they would control any prescribed remedy, whatever the public health situation is. So they would pretty much run everything.
Right. That, I think, is the practical effect of this. And you know, the thing about it is this sounds too wild to be possibly true. But when you look, Dave, at what Tedros Ghebreyesus was able to do in the course of the pandemic, when he only had advisory authority.
Advisory authority.
And his advice was, first after lying to us about the origins of this biological warfare attack, lying to us about its communicability, lying to us about the kinds of techniques that using early treatment with drugs like hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin, which were widely available, very inexpensive, and very safe. He then proceeded to say, what you need to do is you need to have mask mandates, you need to have social distancing, you need to have quarantines and lockdowns, and you need to have mandatory jabs with what proved to be inadequately tested and actually dangerous. Vaccines, actually, radical gene therapy.
Yeah.
So you put all that together. That's what they did. We're not making this up. We know that's what happened, and we know the kind of impact that it had. I'd say, it's telling you off air.
Yeah.
Robert Malone, one of the courageous frontline doctors who actually helped create this mRNA technology that is at the core of those vaccines. It has told me personally that he thinks the cumulative effect of all of those, examples of bad advice was to needlessly kill 80% of the 1.2 million Americans
80%.
Who perished from this COVID disaster.
80%.
And
needless deaths because of the bad information,
because among other things they proscribed getting early treatment with ivermectin or hydroxychloroquine.
So I don't even have the words to express the emotions. You said it's criminal. I said infuriating beyond any imagine. 80% of the million plus needlessly ended their lives as a result of this information.
And that's just in America. I mean, there were millions more elsewhere around the world.
And Frank, you said it very well. This is what we know they have done, which gives us clear insights to project what they will do. Guys, we got to pray. So I asked the Lord how we could be praying about this. Everybody write down Job 12, 23 through 25. This is intercessory, an intercessory strategy for us. I'm going to read it. He, God, uncovers the deep things out of darkness. He brings the shadow of death to light. Okay? Job 12, that's verse 23, I think. My reading glass. I should have brought my reading glasses. He makes nations great and destroys them. He enlarges nations and then guides them. He takes away the understanding of the chiefs of the people of the earth and makes them wander in pathless wilderness. This is what we need to be doing right now, that those who are behind all of this would be taken away the ability to see how to get this done, that they would be sent down pathless, they would wander in the pathless wilderness. They grope in the dark without light, and he makes them stagger like a drunken man. These are the things that we need to be praying through today. So this is Job chapter 12. So if you're joining us late, Dave Kubal with Intercessors for America here. Great to have you join us on this first Friday of April or whatever day you watch this webcast. And I have a feeling that this is going to be popular out there as you all take the opportunity to share this great information with everybody, with Frank Gaffney, founder of the Center for Security Policy and former executive branch administration expert on security issues, consulted with NATO, et cetera. I do want to remind everybody that, hey, give us a call today. Join the IFA community in praying 31 days for the National Day of Prayer. There it is on the screen. Give us a call, 1-800-USA-PRAY. And we'd love to send you a copy of We Declare. It's my latest book, just came out about 10 days ago, with a donation of any amount. And our staff always get bombarded with your wonderful calls. We appreciate that. If you get voicemail, know that we'll give you a call back. In addition to that, Frank, I don't even know if you've seen this. This is our special report. We do special reports all the time. The Who's Global Power Grab. This is our latest special report that you can download. And I don't know if you can click the download in the video screen. I don't think it works like that, in case you were wondering. But you can go to our website and see how you can download that. I believe it was either sent out in the alert yesterday or will be sent out to the alert tomorrow. And there's a couple of good-looking guys. There's a good-looking guy right.
Oh, my goodness.
Mr. Gaffney.
So, thank you.
I hope that you have a sense to, oh, yeah, and thanks, Fagan, for putting that up, Global's push to take U.S. sovereignty. You can send a message to your elected officials today. If you receive our alerts, and if you don't, you need to sign up. But if you receive our alerts, you received an email today that all you have to do is click a button, and it provides a path for you to send a message to your elected officials. So I just want to take a little break about midway through and highlight those. But so, Frank,
Can I just say one word?
Sure.
You know, this is just one example of, as is your book, of the important work that you guys do here at the Intercessors for America. And I cannot thank you enough. The prayers, especially, are so important because we are in a spiritual war. And I think in this particular case, as we'll talk about a little bit more here in the next bit, we need God's grace. to get us through this perilous, perilous time. So please, not only do your bit by praying for all of this, but also support the great work of Blue Walls Operation.
Well, you love praying for Frank and the Center for Security Policy and Tommy, the Waller, the recent new executive director. But listen, this is you, every time you all pray for this man, he calls me and says, hey, Dave, we need this. We need prayer right now. And we'll send out a notice. And literally, virtually every time, he will call me back in 2 days or send me a text, say, Dave, you're not going to believe what happened. Within hours of him contacting us, us getting the word out, God hears your prayers. And this man is so called by God that you release power, you release circumstances, favor, whatever he's needing at the moment, as soon as you pray that. So
it's true. Praise God and praise IFA.
Wow. All right. So let's jump back into this issue. So you covered the fact of the necessity for any treaty to be reviewed, approved, 2/3 of the Senate. And let's delve in with our final time to the leadership of this whole movement. Tedros Kaberis, he is the current Director General for the United Nations, to the United Nations Agency, the World Health Organization. He is not a medical doctor. He's an immunologist, if I remember correctly.
PhD. Yeah.
But more importantly, you ready for this, guys? He is a Marxist revolutionary. Before he got into all the medical stuff, he was a Marxist revolutionary in Ethiopia.
Yeah.
Can you confirm that?
I've actually had explained it. So even worse in a way, he's a Maoist Marxist, which means he embraces one of the most murderous, you know, strains of totalitarian communism. And during his time, he was, I believe, a health minister as well as a foreign minister of a regime in Ethiopia, from whence he hails, that was described as a terrorist organization. So
we don't have to wonder about his political
leanings. Well, you don't need to wonder about his political leanings or even his subservience to the Chinese Communist Party, which makes all this that much worse. When he's out touting and promoting and now respectively ordering us to conform to the Chinese model, as he and others have called it, the Chinese call it this, what's particularly alarming is that that model has one element that operates in China today, but isn't quite in place yet for everybody else. But under this arrangement, you asked about things that are kind of slipstreaming along with this power grab, is something we call the digital gulag. And that is that under the guise of having to monitor health statuses of people around the world and therefore be able to anticipate when a pandemic is beginning to emerge and so on, they want everybody to have a digital ID card. And this was very explicitly spelled out in some of the previous drafts. I gather they've sort of lowballed it in the current one, but you can trust me on this. They have this in mind because they saw the value of it when the European Union instituted a similar thing during the COVID pandemic. And that was, as in China, they had a mechanism that they could ensure nobody would travel, vaccine passport it was called, without having evidence that they have gotten the jabs. And that would enable that platform, which could be used, yes, for putting into, you know, a very widely shared database, all of your personal health information. What could go wrong with that? It would also enable that same platform to be used to house information about, your personal finance, where you work, where your kids go to school, who you socialize with.
Social credit score.
What you say in your social posts to them and so on. And yes, give rise, in short, to what the Chinese call a social credit score, by which they have created a means of controlling their 1 point.
So what's the traction with the Chinese Communist Party for Tedros? Is it their effectiveness? Is it that their strategy is working? What's the connection?
Well, I think the connection is ideological, for starters. Okay. I think that he got the gig at the World Health Organization because of the direct intervention of the Chinese Communist Party. They made him the director general. And clearly, as we saw in the pandemic, he takes their orders. They tell him that this came out of a wet lab, a wet market rather, not a lab. Mm-hmm. He says it came out of a wet market. They tell him that it's not communicable. He tells the world it's not communicable. They tell him that the COVID China model pandemic response is the way to go. He tells the world that's what you should do. And again, fortunately, though in the end it didn't seem to matter that much, but fortunately, it was an advisory opinion. And, you know, the Swedes, for example, said, you know, we're not going to do that. No lockdowns. We're not going to mask up. And it turned out they were exactly right. In fact, interestingly enough, Dave, we had a pandemic response on the books. It's official U.S. government policy. And it had nothing to do with any of this. You know, you let people socialize and you develop herd immunity. Mm-hmm. You give people early treatment if they show signs of a problem, and wherever possible, you use, maybe it's off-label, but you use cheap and safe and widely available medication.
Absolutely.
None of that operated because Tedros lied, with Tony Fauci's help, to Donald Trump, and Donald Trump took 2 weeks to flatten the curve, and governors across the country all piled on, and suddenly we were putting in place the China model. But that was on the basis of voluntary activity by our government. And that was a problem, but it's a totally different problem when you have somebody who is totally unaccountable, is not elected by any of us, was picked by the Chinese Communist Party, toes the party line, is a Marxist, wants to impose his will on everybody and has the authority to do so. So, you know, we're down to the 52 days, folks, from this being adopted through this sort of stealthy manner by something called the World Health Assembly that nobody ever heard of, let alone gave any authority to control.
So the committee's meeting in a couple of weeks in Geneva, and then at the end of May 27th, the World Health Organization General Assembly will be meeting in Geneva, and they will be officially approving this
if they have their way.
And the member nations need to approve that. And so how does what could President Biden do between now and then? I guess is the question.
Well, look, it's not going to happen unless with God's grace and your help, we create the perception within the Biden administration, specifically the president's handlers, that what is going on here is going to be a profound liability to his reelection chances. Mm-hmm. Now, one can say, well, let's just suggest that the United States is going to pull out of this thing, is not going to go forward with it. That wouldn't necessarily cause everybody else to go along with that. You know, we're the largest funder of this thing. We have a lot of stroke with it. They've gotten to this point principally because the Biden team has been pushing them to do this. So if it says, wait a minute, let's postpone this until, say, after the election, I think there's a decent chance that this thing is going to get delayed. And that will be incalculably important because it'll give us time to find out what's in these treaties and to debate them and to have a public, you know, affirmation of whether we want to go down this road or not. And can I just make one other point? Because I think, you know, history is important in two respects on this. As we think about what we're going to do and why it's important that we do it. One is that I compare what's afoot here to two moments in our history. One, I had the privilege of playing a very small role in the Reagan administration. Ronald Reagan, in the run-up to the 1980 election, decided that he was not interested in further appeasing or accommodating or even containing what he considered to be the greatest existential threat to freedom in the history of the world to that point, and that mm-hmm. was the Soviet Union.
Yeah, yeah.
So what did he do? Well, he went to an outfit that we've sought to emulate called the Committee on the Present Danger, of which he was a member, by the way. And he sought their help in devising a strategy for actually taking down the Soviet Union. And he went to the American people with that strategy
mm-hmm.
in broad outline. He famously called it, "We Win, They Lose." And by God, and thanks to him, Ronald Reagan got a mandate from the American people, an overwhelming mandate to do just that. And he did. Wow. And with the help of those Committee on the Present Danger folks, he got it done. And as I say, I was in the Pentagon at the time helping in a small way. But the main thing is that was an epic course correction. And we need such a thing now.
Mm.
And about 50 years ago, even before all of that, there was another moment when I would argue it was the last time that the United States government formally surrendered sovereignty willingly and, you know, formally. And that was the Panama Canal.
Mm.
And we signed a treaty to surrender the canal we built to a bunch of thugs, frankly, in Panama. And Ronald Reagan was one of those who emerged from the fight that took place over that, because he was warning that bad things would happen, and frankly, they have since then. The Chinese now essentially own our Panama Canal. But my point is this. I spoke the other day with a man I know we both know well, Richard Viguerie. He's 91 years old now. He's been in the conservative movement all of his life.
Cornerstone.
And I wound up having dinner with him the other night, and I just said, Richard, I kind of think this is like the Panama Canal Treaty.
Mm.
And he said, it absolutely is. So much is at stake. And he reminded me that three things came out of that fight. Very vigorous fight against the Panama Canal Treaty giveaway. One was a birth of really the modern conservative movement out of the honing fire of that fight. The second was a national leader emerged, and that was Ronald Reagan. Mm. And the third thing was, and this is so incredibly important for the present moment, in that time, sufficient political power was amassed just by fighting for our freedom, fighting for our sovereignty, that in the subsequent two election cycles, Dave, only 20 members of the United States Senate who voted for that treaty, passed by one vote, lost their jobs.
Mm.
So my feeling is we need a course correction, and we need that kind of mojo, if I can call it that, coming out of a fight like the Panama Canal Treaty 2.0, I call it.
What a great point and great historical perspective describing the moment we're in. So we're back to Job chapter 12 as we go to an all pray. And it says, "He makes nations great and destroys them. He enlarges nations and he guides them." Frank, you recently released a wonderful book. Why don't you tell everybody about it? I think it's pertinent to our conversation today.
Well, it really is pertinent. In fact, we talk about this whole issue of the WHO in this book, The Indictment. You see it there on the screen. The subtitle of which is Prosecuting the Chinese Communist Party and Friends for Crimes Against America, China, and the World. The "and friends" piece is particularly important, folks. The friends of China, people like Tedros Ghebreyesus elsewhere, of course, but also people in this country. And I hate to report this, I'm sure it's come to your attention, but one of them is Joe Biden. In fact, one of our colleagues in our current iteration of the Committee on the Present Danger, we call it the Committee on the Present Danger China, is a fellow by the name of Sam Faddis. remarkable man. He's served his country, among other things, for 20 years as an undercover operative to the CIA. And he said, look, in the terminology, excuse me, of the trade, and in his personal experience, the way you would describe Joe Biden is as a, quote, controlled asset of the Chinese Communist Party, unquote.
Yeah.
So he is one of the most important of the friends of the Chinese Communist Party. Mm. And he is engineering in collusion secretively with them, with the World Health Organization, with the World Economic Forum and all the rest, this massive surrender of our sovereignty to a global governance arrangement that will, in fact, help advance the Chinese Communist Party's goal of taking down our country and dominating the rest of the world as well.
So let's put the book back up on the screen if we could. Y'all need to get it. It's a wonderful book, very enlightening. It will give you intercessory insight to know how to pray. So, Frank, we're down to just a few minutes here. Sovereignty, the Sovereignty Coalition, a coalition of men and women, policymakers and influencers around this nation. You're championing this. Tell everybody about the Sovereignty Coalition.
Well, I think I mentioned earlier that one of the things that we've done as an organization, the Center for Security Policy, for years is try to pull together special forces in the war of ideas, if you will, coalitions, working groups, task forces, whatever we call them. The Committee on the Present Danger, China is another one. But this sovereignty coalition is arguably the best we've ever done, simply because the quality of people and the skill sets that they have are extraordinary. Many of them are frontline doctors who, you know, had this horrible experience during the pandemic at the hands of the World Health Organization, where they couldn't advise their clients or their patients about how best to treat their conditions. And they see what's coming and they don't want any part of it. We've got national security people like myself. We've got the wonderful Michelle Bachmann. We have a number of lawyers who understand these treaties and constitutionality issues. And as you say, a lot of influencers, a lot of people who are just patriots and who care profoundly about this country. And what we've offered at sovereigntycoalition.org is kind of one-stop shopping on how you can get engaged, how you can make an actual difference in the trajectory we're on. One, by signing there what we call the American Sovereignty Declaration, if you agree with it, and I think you will, having heard what you heard today. But secondly, there's something called an Align Act back into this thing, which you may have used too, Dave. With a click of a mouse, you can send to your two United States senators, especially they need to hear from you, and also your representative in the House of Representatives, and the president and others, your information saying, I want you to stand for our sovereignty, not for its surrender. And we really need your help, especially in these next 52 days. And I encourage you to share sovereigntycoalition.org with everybody you know.
Sovereigntycoalition.org. It's listed in the special report that you can download. That will be in your email tomorrow so that you can get more information about it. But the Sovereignty Declaration, you can sign it. I've signed it. And Frank and the rest of the coalition members, and we're part of the coalition, are collecting this information, collecting this pool of people who care about this critical issue. I mean, the future of our nation
really
is
no exaggeration.
So let's pray for this man right now and pray for Sovereignty Coalition, pray for the Center for Security Policy and everything. This man's in the prime of his life. He has never been more influential. He's never been had as much wisdom and understanding about things. And I think never been more important to freedom, global freedom, not just the United States. So we're going to pray for him, and I know you all want to, and we'll continue. So, Father, we pray for this man, and Lord, as I just put my hand on his shoulder, Father God, I pray that you would put your Holy Spirit upon his shoulder, that you would fill him afresh on this day. May he move in ways that he has not seen in his lifetime. Lord, today, on his birthday, Father, may you bless him in ways he never even imagined. Give him favor, give him effectiveness in this moment of time. Lord, before this man walked on the face of this earth, before he was a twinkle in his mom and dad's eye, Lord, you had plans and purposes for him. So, Father, in this moment in time, we pray that you would release all of those. So now, everybody, pray with me for this man, Frank Gaffney. Let's pray.
All participants are unmuted.
Yes, Father, we know that you desire to accomplish everything in your heart for this man. We know that we are praying in your will. So, Father, we intercede for this man today, Lord, that every divine purpose you have for him would be accomplished. Lord, we ask you this in the powerful name of Jesus. Frank, it's always good to be with you, buddy.
Thank you, Mark.
On your birthday, I can't believe it. We got
praise God
cupcakes out there for him, and it's just fun to our staff. We're excited to meet him in person. Let's put your book up one more time. Make sure you catch that. We'll put up on the screen, too, The Indictment by Frank Gaffney, Amazon Booksellers. And before I do my commercial on my book, Frank, you got the last word on this topic.
Well, my last word is I couldn't have a better birthday present, that's for sure, than all those prayers. Thank you for those kind words and offering to Jesus. This is, I believe, honestly, I've been training for all my life. And hopefully I will be able to bring those skills to bear as we all need to.
So the fun happenstance of life is Frank and his wife recently moved close to where our office is. And so... Mm-hmm. We bumped into each other in the grocery store, which, well, that's Frank Gaffney. So what fun that is. So as we close out today, don't forget, give us a call today, 1-800-USA-PRAY. Get a copy of my new book, We Declare. It's 31 Days of Intercession for America. With a donation of any amount, we'd be more than happy to send you one of them. So our staff are doing their best. They're probably picking up the phone as fast as I can right now. Y'all are so great to join. You know, isn't it great that we are able to do this together and that you are not by yourself. You do not have to wonder if you're the only person that cares about this nation or cares about interceding for this nation. But there are countless millions. IFA, we interact with over a million intercessors every single month. And it's not evidence of the effectiveness of this ministry more than it's evidence of what God is doing in America, putting on the hearts of millions and millions to pray and intercede for our nation at this critical time. So stay with us. We got all sorts of great things coming up. Vote Your Values, we're launching in a couple of weeks. I think you were involved in that last election season. And so we're always grateful for the opportunity. We've got such great staff. Appreciate all them. Well, I'm kind of rambling. I always have a hard time saying goodbye because I appreciate each and every one of you. And as I always say, until we're able to be together again, I pray that God would give you effective intercession. God bless all of you today.
Amen.
Thanks for joining us on Intercessors for America's On Watch in Washington. Be sure to like and subscribe so you don't miss a single episode. And share the word. We bet you have a praying friend who would love to listen to. Visit ifapray.org to access our library of free content, including prayer guides, special intel reports, articles, news, and items for action. We're glad you're a part of the IFA community.